Well, good morning. Yes, in September, everything gets back to normal. And then after November 3rd, the plague disappears. There's no more coronavirus. It's all over with. Last night, I got a nice call from our missionary from California, Don Fountain. And we just had a great time. We must talk for about a half hour. He's been writing a lot of material. He has been using the time wisely. And he's been reading a lot and writing a lot, and he wanted to send me some to read, and I appreciate that, but we did have a very good conversation. He's just a real saint of God, a real solid man, a real man of the Word of God, and it was just a real blessing to fellow here. They're doing well. Him and his wife are both doing well. They're staying hibernated in their house, and the Lord's been good to them. He said a number of churches such as ours has helped continue their support. It's very expensive to live in Southern California, and they were not anticipating staying there. They'd planned to leave there, and so it was interesting. He was saved when he was 25, and they didn't have any particular church. They went to one place, and they went to a Methodist church and got a real good Reader's Digest sermon. And his wife said, no, this isn't going to work. And so they didn't go there. And then they went to a Baptist church that was a little better and worked. And then they went to another Baptist church, and they went to Southern California to work with the Jewish people. I went there to live. I don't know why, but they went to Southern California, probably for the good weather and the sunshine and all the beaches. I don't know. And driving down the road, and they saw regular Baptist church. He said, what is that? I said, well, let's go. So they went, and bless their hearts, they heard the Word of God. They heard the whole counsel of God, and they've been there ever since. And then they became a missionary with Baptist Mid-Missions, which is the regular Baptist of regular Baptist missions. And they've served for, as you know, many, many years and retired now, still continuing to serve. But it was a delight, just an absolute delight, to fellowship with him last night. And by Zoom room or some other way, he will be participating in our missionary conference, and I'm looking forward to that. And we'll bring us up to date on what he's doing and some of his latest studies. So it'll be a major time, I hope, that he'll spend with us. And he has some very interesting outlook on what's going on today and what's happening and how it relates to the end times in the Bible and to the Jewish people. So I think we'll find it very interesting. This morning we take up the psalm, one of the shortest but one of the best known and loved psalms in the Bible, the 23rd psalm. Now last Sunday we looked at the 22nd psalm. Now I did not realize it until I was reading J. Vernon McGee this week and studying the 23rd psalm, is that there's three psalms, the 22nd psalm, the 23rd psalm, and the 24th psalm, that are called the shepherd psalm. They go together. They're three psalms that work together. And I found it quite, as I studied them, very exciting. And so I was anxious to share this with you, and I trust that you find this introduction part as exciting as I found as I looked at this. In Psalm 22 that we looked at last week, remember it started out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it deals all the way through the 22nd Psalm with the Christ on the cross. In Psalm 22, we see Christ as the good shepherd. Remember what Christ himself said in John chapter 10, verse 11? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's what we have in Psalm 22. The good shepherd laying down his life for his sheep. Then in Psalm 23 that we're going to look at this morning, we have the great shepherd. The great shepherd, and I call your attention to Hebrews, the last verses in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, where he ends with this benediction in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, talking about the great shepherd. Here I quote, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his strength, through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory forever and ever. Amen." The great shepherd. So Psalm 22, we have the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, we have the great shepherd that lives for his sheep. And then in Psalm 24, we have the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5, we have here in 1 Peter 5, we have the passage on the great shepherd that we see in Psalm 22, which next week we'll be studying if you want to study ahead and look at Psalm 24, where we have the good shepherd. But we look now at Peter, 1 Peter. And we have here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we have this. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, the Word of God says this. Likewise, 1 Peter 5, 4. I'm going to read the first four verses here, starting with verse 1. "The elder which is among you, I exhort, whom am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And here's the word, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight, therefore, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And, verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away." The chief shepherd. And so Psalm 22, we see the good shepherd. Psalm 23, we see the great shepherd. And Psalm 24, we see the chief shepherd. In Psalm 22, we see the cross. "I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep." In Psalm 23, we see the crook, the shepherd's crook, the care, the watchfulness over the sheep. The crook both had that of protecting the sheep, of guiding the sheep, and beating off the wolves and the dogs. It was a very sturdy piece of equipment. It had the hook on the end to catch the sheep from the leg and to get them in the right direction. And it was a very heavy stick and long in order to beat away the coyotes and the wolves and the bears and the lions, as David did. And then in Psalm 24, we see the crown, the king's crown. And next week in Psalm 24, we see Christ as the King of Glory. What a wonderful three psalms. Psalm 22, we see Christ as the Savior. Psalm 23, we see Christ as the satisfier. Christ 24, we see Christ as the believer's expectation. Going on in our introduction, in Psalm 22, Christ dies for the sins of the world. In Psalm 23, Christ is living. Christ is living in the believer. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." In Psalm 23, we see him living and guiding and directing the believer. In Psalm 24, we see the future. Jesus is coming again. What a blessed three psalms. The past, he died for our sins. The present, he lives to make intercession for us in heaven. He lives, the Holy Spirit he sent to guide and direct us in the paths of righteousness. And in Psalm 24, he gives light when he shall appear, the blessed hope. where the blessed hope of the believer is looking for the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall see him, 1 John chapter 3. We shall see him and we shall be like him. That's what we're going to look at next week in Psalm 24. So Psalm 23, the present, the past, excuse me. Psalm 22, the past. Psalm 23, the present. Psalm 24, the future. Psalm 23, he gives his life for the sheep. Psalm 23, he gives his love to the sheep. In Psalm 24, he gives his light when he shall appear. The 23rd Psalm is the song of the old shepherd. The question is, at what portion of his life, when did David write the 23rd Psalm? And as I looked at a number of men, most of the men that have thought and meditated and considered this subject, that they were sure that David had to be an older man, a man that had gone through much of life's difficulties. You know, as a young man, even after David was anointed king, there was times he had to go begging for food. There was times, remember, that he sent his men out to beg for food. David also, as we know, even later on in his life, he knew the great failures. He knew the failure of sin. He knew the failure of disappointed. He knew the failure of a dysfunctional family, of an unfaithful wife, of children that were turned against him. And I think after all those experiences, David wrote the 23rd Psalm. It is a psalm, a song of the old shepherd. Remember, David was a shepherd himself all his life from a very young boy. He was the youngest. He had 7 brothers. And guess who got to go out and take care of the sheep? David did. The baby of the family, he was sent out there to take care of the sheep. In Psalm 78, if you'd like to turn to Psalm 78, there's a very interesting passage here in Psalm 78 that talks about that. And I believe that this shows the experience of David. Psalm 78, verse 70. Let's move up here. It's really a very interesting psalm, very beautiful as the psalms are. But let's start up here in verse 65. Then the Lord awake as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man he shouted by reason of wine. And he smote his enemies in hinder parts, he put them to the perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved and which he loves, that's Jerusalem, built on Mount Zion. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which he hath established forever. Verse 70, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfold. Remember what David was doing when Samuel came there to anoint the next king after Saul had failed God, after Saul had failed to obey God, and he was refused to God, he was taken from the throne by God. And then Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse of the tribe of Judah there in Bethlehem, and he was sent there to anoint a king. And remember where David was? All the other brothers were there. There was going to be a feast, a big banquet, a celebration. That was the excuse for Samuel being there. And all the family of Jesse was there except for little David. The shepherd boy, he was out taking care of the sheep. When all the 7 brothers passed by and God rejected them all, although they all seemed to be very good candidates to be king, they were strong young men. They were evidently attractive, handsome young men. And God rejected them all and said, man, what's going on? Is there anyone else? And oh, yes, we almost forgot. Well, there is another one. There's a young boy. He's out taking care of the sheep. And they had to send, for him to be anointed king, they had to send out to the sheepfold to bring him in. And notice what it says here in Psalm 78, verse 70. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfold, from following the ewes great with young, and brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So God chose a shepherd boy to be king. And David never forgot his roots, where he came from. He came from the fields taking care of the sheep out there, which is a very lonely job. It's a very difficult job, because sheep are not the easiest animals to take care of. Now, I've had the privilege, and I do call it a great privilege, to be on a small farm and have a number of animals. I had chickens. First, we moved out there. I was in the fourth grade and had 125 chickens, and it became my responsibility since my father always worked in town. And I was about 12 years old at the time, and it became my responsibility to take care of the 125 big red hens that laid great big jumbo brown eggs. And the 125 hens, they make a pretty messy roost every day. And it was my job every day to clean the roost, to put Blackleaf 40, paint the roost with that to kill the lice on them, to make sure the big watering trough that was made out of a old water heater. Some of you remember it was a metal water heater, and it had been cut in half to make a watering trough for the chicken. And we had wooden troughs to put the food in. It was my job to make sure that that was in. I am so thankful for that opportunity to take care of those chickens. I really am. Because you know something about it? Chickens had to be taken care of every day. Sunday had to be taken care of. Christmas made no difference to the chickens. They still had to have the roost cleaned. They still had to have the feeders filled up. They still had to have fresh water. Your birthday, you didn't take it off. Nope. Chickens were fed on your birthday. It was one of the greatest lessons that I learned, is taking care of them. And then, of course, one of the delightful things, except for the hens that wanted to sit on them and picked you, was gathering the eggs. That was always the exciting thing, to gather those big brown eggs. But then I had sheep, I had pigs, I had calves that raised from the bottle, had rabbits, and I will have to say the sheep were not my favorite. They were stubborn critters. They really were. And they just took off sometimes, and they just went off on their own. And the thing is, they couldn't always find their way back home. Didn't seem like it. They didn't want to. And they were somewhat, like I say, they weren't my favorite animal, the sheep. And we see that here. But God's people were called sheep in the Bible. And God is our shepherd. And then he gives under shepherds. And that's why we have the name that we give to leaders in our church as pastors. And their job is to take care of the flock, the sheep, as God's under shepherds. Well, that kind of brings us now to the 23rd Psalm. We see it was written by a shepherd, David, about the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. So let's look at this. It's very familiar. I remember that when last time I visited Leon in the hospital, and not alone, he'd been reading the 23rd Psalm often, and he asked me to read the 23rd Psalm. And this has been a psalm that has been a great encouragement and blessing to God's people down through the time. It's often thought of, and a lot of people read this psalm or a psalm when they're dying. But the reality of it is, this is a psalm of life. It's a psalm of every day. It's something that I believe that God would have us continually to recite this psalm and to read it. That's why I think he made it short, so that we could memorize it easily. But it's very pithy. That is, every stanza in the 23rd psalm speaks of something very important. It speaks of the shepherds, the great shepherd, living for us. Psalm 22 showed the shepherd, the good shepherd, dying for us. Psalm 23 shows the great shepherd living for us. Psalm 24 shows the great shepherd, the great chief shepherd, coming for us. All right, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now that's very personal, my. When I use that word my, when you use that word my, it means something that belongs to us. And what the psalmist says here is, the Lord, God, he is my shepherd. And so we ask ourselves, who can say that? Who can say the Lord is my shepherd? Well, it is clear the only people who say the Lord is my shepherd have to be able to, in Psalms 22, say the Lord who died for me. He's not our shepherd if he's not the one that died for us. He's the shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life to the sheep. He that cometh to me must believe that I am, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If Jesus Christ is our shepherd, it means that we rejected all other shepherds. It means that we're not depending upon ourselves to guide and direct us. We're not letting someone else be our shepherd. We're letting the Lord Jesus Christ be our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What it's saying is, I have someone that takes care of me. I have a shepherd, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the pastor and others in our life are his helpers, his assistants. But he is our shepherd. Our pastor is a shepherd, a help, but he is not our primary shepherd. Our primary shepherd, dear Christian friends, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. And when I say that others aren't. I don't look for others to be my shepherd. I don't put my allegiance in others to be my shepherd. My shepherd is Jesus Christ. I believe this is a great tragedy today. A great tragedy of many Christians is that the last one they turn to, the last person they think about in their lives when they have a need, when they have a difficulty, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else first. And it's like we had in Sunday school this morning. Isn't it interesting? I was listening to that lesson and I thought how much it went along with the 23rd Psalm. It really does. And with the shepherd. Because the people, they only started yelling for God and turning to God when the locusts eating everything up, huh? Then we better get someone to take care of, help us. Before that, we'll do it ourselves. We'll go out there and we'll stamp on them. Well, they got too many to be stamped on, huh? And they couldn't take care of it. They needed to get some help. They needed someone more than them. This pandemic, that's one of the things I think we're seeing now. The nation still haven't turned to God. They look to the scientists, they look to the vaccine, they look to that, and they look to that. When someone does say, maybe we should have a prayer, let's have a day of prayer in the nation, let's turn to God in prayer, let's trust Him. We don't need God, we need more scientists. And that's exactly what we should expect today. Today, people do not want a shepherd. They want a scientist. They want a philosopher. They want religion. They want something they can do themselves, but they don't want a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Dear Christian friends, when are we going to realize that our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the only shepherd that can meet our needs? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Today, people want for this, they want for that, they don't have this. And it says here, when the Lord is my shepherd, when I look to Him, I shall not want. What does this mean? All of my necessities will be provided. Not all of my desires, not all of my red jaguars will be provided. But that which I need, the shepherd will take care of us and provide for us. Not the scientist, not the religionist, not the philosopher, not the politician. That's what the politician wants today. He wants us to say, the politician is my hope. The politician is my shepherd. The politician is a... No. For us that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Lord is our shepherd, period. Let's get that straight. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. And then notice verse 2. What a tremendous... And it's so familiar and it's so clear that it leaves little that we need to explain. But in this day particularly, in this day of the coronavirus, in this day of the pandemic, in these days when nothing is normal, it doesn't seem like everything is turned upside down. But notice what it says here in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He gives peace. While everyone else is running, hunting for pastures, for peace. They're hunting for rest. They're hunting for this. They're running to and fro. And this is what God says to you and to me, that He will provide us the provision of rest, of safe security, of not being all worked up and worried about this, what's ever going on in the world. He says, I will. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. People are running all over. The waters are churning. They're all foamed up. The waves are coming in. They're running and running around. What God wants for you and for me to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do you realize, dear friends, what He has for you and me? He has green pastures. In this pandemic, when everyone is running to and fro, when everyone is looking for, He has for His people green pastures. That's what He has for us. This is a psalm to live by. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still water. Sheep don't like rushing water. They like to drink, but they're fearful. They're fearful when the water is rough. They also don't like stagnant water. Stagnant water isn't good water either. Stagnant water can make you sick and poisonous. They like the, notice what it says here, how accurate it is, the still water. It's not stagnant water, it's not rushing water, it's still water. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. verse 3, do you realize the primary thing that God is concerned about in your life and my life, the primary thing that the great shepherd is concerned about for you and for me is we have spiritual peace. Yep. That it's well with my soul. That we've anchored our soul in the haven of rest. That's where we're to be anchored. Anchored and secure and just sitting in the haven of rest. The calm water of the cove. Our anchor solid and there we sit. While everyone else is blown here and blown there and battered here and battered there. The Christian, the child of God, should be calm and peaceful through it all. We should be singing every day, Rock of Ages cleft for me. We should be thinking and we see the world running here and running there and the noise of this and the noise of that. We should be saying, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Okay, neighbors, you run around. Okay, television, you get all excited and yell and scream all day and dig up this. But I have anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Rest of you can run around all you want, but those of us that know Jesus Christ, we're not going to do that because we're at peace. We're at peace. What a time for God's people to have a testimony to the world. While they're screaming and yelling and worrying about this, we're at rest. We're at peace. We've anchored our soul in the haven of rest. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of who thou art. I am finding that you are the great shepherd and that you give rest. You give green pastures. You give still waters. You give spiritual understanding. You restore my soul. You hideth me in the paths of right. He hideth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, that shepherd's crook, that shepherd rod that the shepherd carried, they comfort me. You notice what it says here, the shadow. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not death. It's a shadow. The believer never suffers. Listen to me carefully. The believer never suffers death. The real person. Now this body does. This body quits. But the soul, the real person, never dies. It goes through what looks like death. But the minute that this body closes down, the minute this body stops, the believer is in the presence of the Lord. That quick, wink of an eye. It's a shadow of death. It looks like death to us that are left. But to the person, the minute the body stops, the person is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true believer never, ever dies. Never. The body, yes. This outward tabernacle, this is getting, that most of us know is getting frailer and frailer and less functioning than it did. We all know that. But the real us is still vibrant and alive and excited. And why this body is letting us down, we know when this body stops, then immediately we're in the presence of the Lord. The very instant that Bill's body stops, he's... instant isn't even the word. It's boom. He's in the presence of the Lord. James William, when his body finally gives up and stops, his next breath, the very next breath, is in heaven with Jesus Christ. believers never, ever die. It's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. Dear friend, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, you will never, ever die. Mark that down. You never will. The believer doesn't die. The believer leaves his body here and immediately goes to heaven. Then when Christ comes and brings us back or takes us here on earth, then he'll have a new body that will never die. That body will never die. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That's the Christian life. Let the enemy say what they want about. Let the enemy attack. Let that. No. We'll enjoy that picnic. We'll enjoy the peace. When everyone else is fighting and battling and all of this other, we'll be enjoying the presence of one another in the presence. That's why it's so important for the church to assemble together. It's so important for us to come together and enjoy each other, to eat with one another, to fellowship with one another, to have cookies with one another, to have pie with one another. It's so important to come together and assemble. That's God's purpose for the church. God's people to assemble down through history have paid great costs, great prices. Many have assembled knowing that as they assemble, they'd be put to death, and they assembled anyway. Notice what it says, dear friends. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I have fullness of life. The believer, in the midst of this coronavirus, in the midst of anything that happens in our life, in the midst of great tragedies, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of physical, financial, mental failure, for the believer, our cup should be running over. That's right. Our cup should be running over. We shouldn't be satisfied with cups half full as believers. Our cup, the great shepherd, wants to keep our cup running over. Cup going. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, in the presence of coronavirus, in the presence of political instability, in the presence of all this. Thou anointest my head with oil. Oil has always been a symbol of the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is to be working in our lives. Fox News and CNN isn't to be working in our lives, dear friends. I'm afraid that perhaps in the life of too many believers that the news is working in their life, not the Holy Spirit. They get worried about what the latest forecast is for the elections, what the latest this, the latest that, instead of saying, God, cause my cup to run over. Just saying. You can read it yourself. You can interpret it yourself. You can put your own thing. But it says here, dear friends, that the great shepherd wants to give us a full and overrunning cup. And so something's wrong if our cup is only half full and not running over. It really is. Just saying. What should be in the midst of this days in which we live, we should be having a full life. Now that's hard. I'm not saying I found that. I'm just saying we should. I'm not saying I've always found that. I'm just saying we should. And I believe we need to be working and find out how we do that, huh? Besides gaining another 30, 40 pounds. find other ways to get a lot of joy out of life. I tell you, I had some up in the northern part of Montana where you could look over and you just saw Canada over there and saw that you couldn't go across over there. I had some huckleberry bear claws that were unbelievable. I've had huckleberry pie that didn't have as many huckleberries as those scones, as those bear claws had in them. They were a delight. They were a delight. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Giving us joy, my cup runneth over. And then verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy, surely, not maybe, not perhaps. What do you have in your Bible? What does it say in verse 6 in your Bible? Mine says surely, a certainty. It's for sure that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means when I'm 65, 75, 80. Do I hear 85? Guess, what, 90? We got 90? What it says, all the days. This is too, I wish, kid, this is for 5-year-old, 6 years old. What's the youngest one? Your family? 4? 2. It's for 2-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 60-year-olds old, 90-year-olds. Notice what it says. Surely, for certainty, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house temporarily. Is that what your Bible says? And I shall dwell in the house forever. Forever. Once a person is in Christ, they're there forever and ever and ever. And they're to be enjoying that blessed position. We'll save that for next week. Save that for next week. I do want to close with this. I want to close with the statement that I believe sums up the 23rd Psalm. Christ has won and gives the believer total victory. Not everything we want, not fame, not riches, not a red jaguar. But the Lord Jesus Christ, dear Christian friend, dear believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has given us total victory. In the midst of the coronavirus 19 pandemic, we as believers in Jesus Christ are to be enjoying total victory. I tell you this, brothers, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and it was not an easy place. Corinth was a pretty wicked city. Corinth had pornography on every street corner and every middle of every street. Its temples were pornography. Its statues were pornography. Its life was pornography. It had all sorts of wickedness and idolatry and adultery and fornication all throughout that city. It was a wicked, wicked city. And Paul writes to that church, and he writes to us at Christ Fellowship today. And I close with this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, And this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable puts on imperishable, and this mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is in sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But Paul writes to us, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Word of God tells us this morning, in the midst of all that we're in today, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Christ has won on the cross by his death on Calvary, and by his resurrection the first day of the week, has won and gives the believer, you and I who have our faith resting in Jesus Christ as our great shepherd, has given us total victory. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a partial victory. It's not a someday victory. It's not a every other day victory. But Heavenly Father, you've given us a total victory. It's not just a victory when the sun is shining, but it's also a victory in the valley of the shadow of death. That Heavenly Father, is not just a victory when there's no pandemic, when there's no flu going around. But Heavenly Father, it's a victory when there's a terrible pandemic going around and terrible flu going around. That Heavenly Father, the victory is ours. May we experience it this day, this week. May Heavenly Father, may our confidence and our joy and our satisfaction be that we have a great shepherd. May it be as we rise in the morning and we say before we ever get out of bed, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Because on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ won our victory. And Heavenly Father, help us in this pandemic. Help us in these days in which we live to live in the joy and the satisfaction of that victory won for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.